Now, Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. And God, thank you that we get to be fathers and that we have a perfect father in you. And Lord, just to give us wisdom today, all of us need help in training and raising and helping our children. And Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have to do so. You're so good to us, and we're just amazed by that. None of us deserve it. And we do love you, God. So just speak to us, Lord. We're all tired, and some have late nights and prayer and just being with friends, talking. So just help us to have your strength as we finish the conference and give us safety just as we go home and all the responsibilities that are yet ahead. And I love you very much. I'm so thankful for your goodness in my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm sorry we don't have amplification, so I'll try to speak loud enough that you can hear me. But let's start this idea of fatherhood with a couple of things. First of all, to say that none of us have arrived. Are we all on the same page there? And don't think I'm teaching this lesson because I know everything to do. I'm learning all the time. And there's some things I work at all the time, and one is being a good husband, and the other is being a good dad. And it's an ongoing process. None of us will ever arrive at that. And it's a never-ending process. It's just how life is. Now, I do have a podcast, if you'd like to tune into that. My wife and I do it together. We call it, my last name is Young, so we call it Keeping It Young. And our podcast deals once a week with marriage and family. So if you've never tuned in, I'd love to have you check that out. And I will tell you this about fatherhood. Fatherhood is one of the greatest joys of life, but also one of the heaviest responsibilities. It's just a blessing to be a dad, just to raise kids, and there's just nothing like it. And I'm at that, I'm kind of at an unusual stage in my life. I've got three kids married, I have a 19-year-old in college, and I have a freshman in high school still at home. And so I'm done with the elementary age. Some of you are probably there, the toddler elementary age. That's a great age. And one of the most important stages of life is the toddler elementary, followed only by the teen years. And God's good to you to let you be a dad. And so let's just start like this. What are the greatest fatherhood verses you can think of? This is a tricky question because it's hard to think this way. If you were to say, I'm going to quote some verses about fatherhood, what verse would come to your mind? All right, there's one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. There's a fatherhood verse. Okay, right back there. That's a good one. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, don't provoke your kids to wrath. Don't harass your children. I found that one in it because we don't always think of that one as a fatherhood verse, but it really is one of the most important ones. Just a soft answer. When dads often ask me for advice, one of the things I say, when you're handling issues with your children, whisper. And because it's so easy, isn't it, as a dad to go, what are you thinking? I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. Make another one look like. That's right. My dad said one time, be easier to make another one. I can always have another kid. And I don't know if that's the best way to look at it or not. But these are all good verses. What else comes to your mind? There's more than that. Yeah, quote it for us. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it is right. The Proverbs 6 is a. There's some chapters you ought to master as a dad, and Deuteronomy 6 is one of them. Deuteronomy 6 is a chapter you ought to read periodically as a dad. And you'll find there that what he's going to tell you is that all of us are responsible for three generations. You, your sons, and your son's sons. So I'm responsible for me. That's where it starts. So let's just start there. That's a good place to start. I can't be the right kind of dad unless I'm the right kind of man. So start with you. And if you were with me yesterday in the afternoon session when I spoke, the things I said there about get to the word, get to the closet, those are essential, brothers. It's almost impossible to be a great dad until you're a great man. And being a great man is not this weird thing. It's not like put you on a platform and give you a trophy or a plaque. Being a great man in Christianity is just walking with God. It's not perfection. It's not that I've arrived. It's not that I have all the answers. It's not that I have all the wisdom, but it is that I'm growing. And if nothing else is going on in your life today, leave the men's prayer advance in the Word of God. And just, you know, every day, set your alarm 5 minutes earlier and read a chapter and just meditate. Or when you're on your way to work, do what I did this morning on my way to the men's prayer advance. I played Alexander Scorby, and I listened to the book of 1 Peter this morning on the way to the men's prayer advance. He read it to me. And, you know, I didn't catch all of it because I'm, you know, driving, and I didn't catch all of it, but I'm getting the Word of God. And just, I'm trying this year to memorize two verses a week. And I don't have it. I'm already behind. But I'm four verses ahead of where I was when the year started. And I just, because I'm trying to be a godly man. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy, it's you. Starts with you. You see that again in Joshua 24. This is the other, one of the big fatherhood verses. Y'all probably know it if I mention it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me. See, that's where it all starts. So let's just start right there. Fatherhood is about you being a godly man. And anybody here can be. You know, and it, don't let anything stop you from trying to be a godlier man this year. Get in the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. One of the hardest things I do is slow down enough to spend time in prayer. And so I've been trying to do that. I got up this morning and I forced my mind was going today. I got to teach, and I've got a youth rally tonight, and I'm starting a revival in Fairfax, Virginia tomorrow. And my mind's all over the place, and my wife texting me, and boy, my day's going. My day's going right away. My day's going, and woke up with a headache, you know, my prayer advance hangover. And I'm like, man, my day's already going. And I just stopped. I packed. You know, I got to move out of the, you know, I stop. And I just put it all down and knelt. And just took a few moments to pray for me. And for the woman who puts up with me. And for the youngins that I care about. Just slow down. You don't have to be legalistic about it. Don't set a goal you can't attain. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day in the Bible. Well, if you can, do it. But if you can only get 10 verses, get 10 verses a day. Doesn't take long to read 10 verses. So start with you. That's what I'm saying. Start with you. If you're struggling with your purity, then go to work on that. Don't let the devil beat you to death about it. Go to work on it. Come clean. Just do whatever you got to do. The Bible gets pretty, you know, the Bible said, look, if your hand's causing you, just cut it off. I mean, what do you got to do? Cut it off. Throw away a phone if you have to. Unplug satellite if you have to. You could survive without TV. But you can't survive without your purity. So do whatever you got to do. Just take some steps this year. If you need to, I had a friend of mine say to me one time, he said, you know, I love to golf, but I've decided not to golf for a while. I said, well, why? He said, because golf is time consuming and expensive, and I decided I could give up the 8 hours a week that I play golf twice a week, 18 holes for 4 hours. I decided I could give that up and invest that in something else. Because I need some time with my kids, so I can give up golf. Now, it's not wrong to play golf, you know that, but here's a dad trying to take some steps. You see what I mean by that? So let's just start there. What steps could you take to help you be a godlier man this year? Can you think of anything at all? You know, I could work on that. Maybe date your wife once a week. You know, just to be a godlier man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And don't let the devil make you legalistic about it. Because for some reason we get all these goals set, and then we miss a day, and then the devil beats us up and goes, "See there, you're not much." Tell the devil. Say, "Shut up, you're a jerk." And he is a jerk. The devil is a jerk. Did y'all know that? And so don't let him destroy you. Don't let him defeat you. Don't let him beat you up. Work on you. Can we start there? All right. And then the Bible says in Deuteronomy, you're responsible for you and your sons. And so let's start with our children. And this is the point of this one. But he adds one more to it. I'm responsible for my grandchildren. So he says, you, your sons, and your son's sons. And he just lay it out in Deuteronomy. He says things like this. He said, you know, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's the first and great commandment Jesus said. But it comes out of Deuteronomy 6. So here's what I want my kids to do. Love the Lord. Amen. Love the Lord. You may not do everything the way I do it. My kids are grown now. I got three kids grown. They're married. So they don't do everything I do. We had this. Don't judge me on this, all right? But we had this thing when I was a kid, when my kids were at home. We had this thing in which I wouldn't let my kids. I'm trying to think now what the movie is. There's a movie series. I can't even think what the movie is now. But there was a movie series, whatever it was. And my kids, you know, can we watch this series? Well, you know, I'm not comfortable with it. So the answer was no. I'm not comfortable with it, so we're not going to watch it. All of my adult children will come home and say, we watch it now that we're adults. All of them. We watch it now that we're adults. And they're like, Dad, there's not that. Dad, I don't know why you wouldn't let us watch it. There's nothing wrong with it. See, it doesn't matter. I'm Dad, okay? I'm Dad. We're still going to watch it. We're still going to watch it. So my daughter, who's 14, said, Dad, everybody else has watched it. Said, doesn't matter. You're 14 years old and you live in my house. And at this point, I am not backing down. At this point, I may be wrong, but I'm standing here. And the whole point is that we're raising children. We're concerned about them. They're going to grow up and do things differently, but I want them to love God. I don't want my kids to love God. My son said to me the other day, he said, you know, I'll probably go to a church different than the one you'd want me to go to. I go, you trying to scare me with that? You're trying to scare me that you're going to go to church? Did anybody catch that besides me?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, that's serious, isn't it, son? I mean, you think I'm going to be like, I can't believe you're going to go to church.
Yeah.
So maybe they have music that I wouldn't have in the church I go to. But if you're in church learning the Word of God and raising my grandkids in church, I'm for you. Do you understand that? And you be that way. I had a dad say to me one time at a restaurant. We sat down, and he was so bothered. He was so bothered. He was so heavy. And he said, you know, you got to pray for my daughter. And, oh, my goodness. He said, oh, you got to pray for my daughter. He got tears in his eyes. And I'm thinking, my goodness, she must be in jail. I'm serious. I was thinking this. And my heart was going out to this brother across the table from me. My wife and I were sitting there with him and his wife, and they were so broken over their daughter. And so I just conversing, and I said, well, you know, she's got three kids. I said, do you ever get to see her kids? He's like, oh, yeah, they come over every day. Okay. I said, they ever come to church with you? Oh, yeah, they come every Wednesday night to Awana. I said, well, you know, does your daughter ever go to church? Oh, yeah, he said, every Sunday. And I'm like, what am I missing? Well, it finally turned out she goes to a church across town that's different than Daddy's church. But she's there every Sunday. They use don't judge me. I'm pretty strict about some things. But they use a version that he and I wouldn't use. She reads a different translation. Now, I have some strong feelings about that. There's things I believe pretty strongly about in relation to which translations are better and which are not. I have strong feelings about that. But I got to thinking about it one day. I got to thinking, she's reading the Word of God a little differently than the translation that maybe I would prefer. But she's in church every Sunday. She's worshiping God every Sunday. Her kids are in your Awana learning from the translation you believe is better. And you're crying about this? So, brothers, let's not be dumb about it.
Right.
We want our kids to love Jesus. We want our kids to serve Him. We want our kids to put Him first in their life. And that's going to look different for all of us. And here's what I love about fatherhood. The Bible doesn't give us the details. The Bible doesn't say, now, if you want to raise your kids right, make sure they never watch TV at your house. I was raised that way. The night my daddy got saved, I was in kindergarten. And the evangelist preached two things. Number one, he said, you need to get saved because Jesus died, He was buried, and He was raised from the dead. And number two, he said, you need to throw away your TV. So my dad got saved that night, threw away our TV. I'll just be honest with you, I hated that evangelist. And every time the man came back and did a revival, we threw something else away. I remember the night we threw away our TV. I remember the night we threw away our Elvis records. You remember those records, those big CDs? We threw away everything. But see, here's the whole point of this. Where I'm going with that, the fact of the matter is, the Bible doesn't give you the details. So you might feel strongly about something that I don't feel as strong about. But I'm not going to judge you about that because you're responsible for your kids. And when it all boils down, God wants it simple. I want my kids to love Jesus. I want my kids to love God's Word. I want my kids to have character and integrity and decency. I want my kids to be hard workers. Brothers, if there's one area we're really failing, we're failing to teach character, and we're failing to teach our kids to work. You say, well, you know, we live in the city. Look, somebody's got to do the dishes. Don't you and your wife beat yourself up trying to keep up with the house. You got kids. They ought to vacuum. They ought to make the bed. They ought to clean the room. They ought to do the laundry. They ought to mow the yard. They ought to do the dishes and put them away. If you got the money, move to the country and buy a cow and make them milk it twice a day. Is that a little silly? Well, why not? I know a guy that's got an earned doctorate, and his wife has an earned doctorate, and both of them are professors in a college, and they have three sons. These are highly educated, weirdly educated people. You know, you can't talk to them. They're just like, you know, they speak a language I don't speak. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. So I just smile and wave. They're just beyond me. But when their boys were in elementary school, they moved out of the city 45 minutes from the college where they teach and bought a little farm. And they bought a Holstein cow that has to be milked twice a day by hand, 365 days a year. Christmas morning, she got to be milked. Christmas evening, she's got to be milked. Christmas Eve, she's got to be milked. And those boys, every morning, had to get up and milk cows. And why do you do that? Because he's training children. Right. I don't know what you ought to do, but all of us have got to master this art at raising our children. And I got good news for you. It only takes about 18 years. Isn't that good news? Now, it sounds kind of weird, like, oh, my word, I don't know if I can survive 18 years. But the fact of the matter is, that's good news. Because, brothers, we got time. We don't have unlimited time, but we got time. So get at it. Are you praying about it? Let's start there. Number one, are you praying? Biblical fatherhood prays. Biblical fatherhood says, you know, Lord, I can't do this and I need help. Biblical fathers pray. And so, brothers, start there. Get you a little prayer list if you need it. And on the prayer list, put you, your wife, and put your children's names. I have a little Moleskine journal. I bought it, Barnes & Noble. It's about this big, about the size of my palm, of my hand, rather. Just a little journal. And if you found my journal in my backpack in my car right now, you open it to the front page. There's verses I pray about every day on this side. And the second page over here, at the top of it, is me. And then you'll see Bethley, David and Abby, that's my daughter and her husband. Josh and Bethany, my son and his wife. Matt and Kareth, my other son and his wife. Jacob and Charity. If I pray for nothing else in a day, my goal is to get them in there. When I knelt this morning, I prayed for me and the responsibilities I have in this day. And I prayed for Bethany today. I love that woman. I prayed for her today. God just bless her and encourage her and strengthen her. And I prayed for Dave and Abby. They're in California. And serving the Lord. And Josh and Bethany, they're raising my grandbaby. And so there's a little name there beside that now, Ellie Joy. So I'm praying for her too now. But any man here can do that. See, brothers, your kids need your prayers. How many of you know that the devil's trying to destroy your children?
Yep.
How many of y'all know that he's pretty good at it? Your kids need your prayers. In fact, I want to tell you, if you're a father of an adult child, don't miss this. The greatest thing happening in your son or daughter's heart might be your prayers. Greatest thing going in one of your kids' life might be your praying. You know why the devil gets you so busy that you don't have time to pray? You know why? Because he knows that your prayers make a difference. So pray big for your children. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to take care of them. The first gift God's given you is prayer. Biblical fatherhood prays. Does it make sense? Here's the second gift God's given you. Biblical fatherhood loves. What's the greatest thing we know about our Father? For God so loved. Biblical fatherhood is about loving. So start there, brothers. You can pray. You can love. Master that. And we're all different, you know. My dad, I know my dad loves me. But my dad is not the best at showing it necessarily. Now, he shows it in different ways. Like the way my dad shows me he loves me, called me one day and said, hey, son, I just killed a beef. You want half of it? I said, you better believe it. On my way. On my way right now, I'm coming to get the beef. That's how my dad shows me. Now, my father-in-law, who oddly enough was my best friend. That's going to sound a little weird to some of you. My father-in-law was, I never had to ask Dad if I could marry his daughter. Never cleaned his guns in my presence over that. Dad came to see me one day, and Dad Dennis, Bethley's dad, and he said, son, Bethley's mom and I have been praying for her husband for 22 years, and we believe you're the one. And here's what he said, when are you going to marry her? Because I need to get it on the church calendar. And I'm like, seriously? It's this easy? But it was that easy. And her dad didn't cry at the wedding. He was so happy. He was so happy because he said, this is a great day. He said, I'm getting another son. What a difference. He loved me. And my dad, we're all different. Bethany's dad always hugged me and he'd call me and all the time. And he, you know, he said, son, I just called to tell you I love you. He called me David's son. David's son, just like Harley Davidson. David's son, I just called to tell you I love you. And he'd always say when he got done talking to me, he'd say, now look, I give you permission to soundly kiss my daughter. And he told me that all the time. He's in heaven. Now I miss that man so much. I see, it's about love. One guy said to me one time, oh, that love stuff. He said, I'm German. I was like, seriously? I don't care if you're Martian. How many of y'all know, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love. Well, if we can't love our own kids, start there. Listen, daddies, don't get so busy you don't have time to love your kids. Love can be said, so say it. Your children need to hear you say, I love you. And you ought to say it every day. Go into their bedroom at night, and if you've got a teenager that won't talk to you, go into their bedroom at night. It's your house. It's your bed. It's your electrical bill. You own that place. Just knock on the door and go in and sit on the edge of their bed. And just say, I just came in to tell you I love you. And ask, how you doing? Have a little conversation. Say I love you. Say it. Show it. Love is said and shown. So show it. What would you have to do to show your daughter you love her? Let me give you an illustration. My daughter, I know there's all kinds of different men in this room, and we all have different positions, so please don't judge me. So I'm just talking, okay? We were raised in a very strict family, okay? My wife and I both. Like, my mom has never in her life worn a pair of slacks because that's against her the way she was brought up and what she believes. My wife has never. My mom has never worn a pair of slacks. My wife had never worn a pair. We were raised that strict. Well, some years ago in our family, we wrestled with that, and we changed that position in our family. So that, now don't judge me about it. I love the Lord, and if you disagree with me on this, it's okay. But now, my wife will wear capris. Okay, now we wear culottes. Y'all know what culottes are? And we decided that capris are just long culottes. And they're just, you know, they're not pants if they're 3 inches above your ankle, okay? And I'm being a little silly here. Don't look at me so seriously. So, my wife does not wear slacks. She wears capris. And a friend of mine said to me one day, he said, you know what you call it when your wife is wearing capris, right? And I said, what? And he said, denial. And but here's where I'm going with this illustration, all right? I'm not trying to be liberal. I'm trying to raise kids in a generation that's different than how I was raised, okay? So nobody else in our church, there were no other girls in our church that didn't wear pants except for my daughter. So we're not trying to be liberal. When I'm trying to raise my daughter in a world where I live. So we made this change in our family. And it was hard. It was a little hard for me because now it was just easier to say, no, we're just wearing skirts, dresses. It's all. So now it's a whole new ball game. Because now, yes, my daughter wears slacks, but I believe very strongly in a word. Modesty.
Amen.
So now we're having to deal with modesty. Do you know it was easier to deal with modesty when my daughter only wore dresses and skirts? Now I found it's harder. I thought it'd be easier. Now it's harder. Because everybody now in the youth group wears tight pants, all the girls. But I don't want my daughter to. But I love my daughter. So what do I do to let her know I love her? Well, I don't let her wear tight pants because I don't believe in that. But here's what I did. I said, honey, I know this is hard for you because you're the only girl that wears looser fitting pants. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you the nicest ones your daddy can afford. So here's what I do. To show my daughter I love her, I spend more money on her clothes than you can imagine. If you'll honor your daddy's position here, because daddy's trying to be fair and balanced in a world like ours, and daddy is trying to be godly and live the modesty I believe in, I know it's hard for you because you wear different clothes than all the other girls in our youth group. But if you'll let me, I'll tell you what I'll do. Daddy will take you shopping and you pick out pants that you like that fit our standard. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay any price for them. Why? Because I want to know I love her. You see that? And is it hard? It's hard to have a conversation with your daughter. We can't wear that. Sorry, we can't wear that. Sorry, sweetie, we can't wear that. Daddy can't do that. But see, I can show her I love her even in my standards. Love has to be shown. And like my son, I'm trying to connect with one of my sons. How do you connect with this boy? He's not like his brothers. He's different, and he's more musical, so he's a bit more emotional. How can I connect with his son? My other boys hunt. You know, we can just go kill something. That's manly. But he's not like that. So how do I connect with him? Well, I found out he loves motorcycles. You know what I did? I bought him a training course at Harley-Davidson and paid the money for him to go over there and learn how to ride a motorcycle safely. And then I invested $1,000 in a motorcycle. Is his mom happy about this? I'm the man of this house. Take that off this recording. But see, you know what I've done? I've connected with him. Why did I spend all that money to get him training on a motorcycle? Why did I spend $1,000 to buy a cheap old motorcycle? Why? Why did I just buy him at Christmas time the helmet he's been wanting for Christmas? Because I want to know I love him. See? And there's a lot more to parenting. But anybody can do those two things. What could you do to show your kids you love them this weekend? Yeah, like what's your son's favorite snack? You ever just buy it for him, show up, leave it on his bed? Just put a note on his bed with, you love Snickers? Get him a Snickers bar, put it on his bed, and a little note on there. Just say, just because I want you to know I love you, I'm praying for you, Dad. This is love, brother. Say it. Show it. Touch your children in the sense of hug them. Your dad. Be pure. This world we live in is so perverted. It's so weird to have to say to dad, be careful. Because dad just ought to love their kids. I loved last night. I've been sitting by Riley. And how do you spell his name?
R-I-L-E-Y.
R-I-L-E-Y? I thought it was different, but it's just a normal Riley. I've been sitting by Riley, and I've known Riley since he was, I think the first time we ever heard you guys sing at that meeting in West Virginia, he was just a little boy. So I've watched this kid grow up. Riley was at the student prayer events this year, and I don't know why. I got on this rabbit trail about vaping. Do you know this?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get him in trouble. All right, so you know about this, all right. And so, Riley, I didn't know this. I got on this dumb thing about vaping. And I was, you know what's wrong with this world? When I was a kid, men smoked Winstons, and now they're smoking strawberry vapes. And I was just being stupid. That's a dumb thing to say. And so he said to me Thursday night at this men's prayer advance, this 18-year-old son of Brother Craig here, he said, you know when you were at the student prayer advance and you preached about vaping? Yeah. He said, I had one of those in my pocket. He said, it wasn't strawberry, it was peach. But you know what he told me? I made that right. Amen. Made that right. Last night, I loved this. Last night, he jumped out of his seat on the front row beside me and got on his knees at the altar last night. I don't know what he prayed about, but he was crying. 18-year-old boy. And when he got up, he hugged his dad for a long time. Brothers, it's called love. I will promise you that there's been times Matt Craig wanted to kill that kid. Is this fair? But I'll tell you what this young man knows. Daddy loves me. Pray, love, communicate. Biblical fatherhood communicates. Now, here's a problem for us men. We're silent. Remember Adam? The serpent came to Eve and entices Eve, and Adam didn't say a word. I don't know why. Why? Why didn't he say something? Because he's a man like us. And for some reason, we as men, our thought processes are so slow by God's design, by the way. Doesn't it amaze you how your wife's thought processes are? My wife can think so fast, and I'm like, I'm not even to point B yet. And she's already at Y, you know. Hold on, baby. I have no idea what I was saying now. And yet God didn't make me that way. God made me and you as men to think slower. And the reason he made us that way is so we can reason things through and come to wise decisions. The reason God puts you in charge of the home is he doesn't want your home to be run by emotions. He wants your home to be run by truth and logic. And it's not a slam against the way God made your wife. God made your wife emotional on purpose. God designed her with this emotional ability for her thoughts to be all over the place and for her to see the whole picture and to feel and her emotions are part and parcel of what makes your marriage great and what makes a family wonderful. But God made you to think a little slower because God wants your family to be ruled by truth and by logic. God made you that way, brothers. And one of the gifts he gave us that we often don't use is communication. Which a soft answer turns away wrath. What's God telling us? I gave you a gift to handle problems of anger. It's called communication. How do I train my children? Our brother here said, here's a great fatherhood verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. How do you train children? You talk. How do you teach your children about the Bible? You communicate. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, in thine heart. And he says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You talk, and you talk about them when you're sitting in your house, when you're going to bed, when you're walking through life, when you're rising up in the morning. You talk God's word. So you're watching Andy Griffith, and Otis stumbles into the jail. What do? You laugh. That's funny right there, drunk guy. He's not going home to his wife. He's going to lock himself in a jail cell. That is the dumbest thing you've ever seen. There's not a drunk in the world that does that. Drunk guy doesn't lock himself in a jail cell so he doesn't hurt anybody. What a time to talk. What a time to say to your kids, that's funny right there, but that's also a stupid lie. Because wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and if you're deceived by it, you are not wise. What a chance to talk, brothers. See, the way you raise your kids is you talk. You got a son that's bothering you? You got a kid that's... Is your kid's got a behavior and it's driving you nuts? It's time to have a conversation. Get your kid and go for a walk. My kids crack up. Because if I say in our family, hey, I'm going to walk the dog. Jake, come walk with me. Jake is like, what did I do now? Dad walks and talks. We're going on a walk talk. It's kind of a joke in the family, but it works. So I'm going to go for a walk. It's dark out there. You know, boys like to talk in the dark. Did y'all know that? Girls like to talk face to face. So if you got a daughter and you're going to have a talk with her, look into her eyes. Sit across the table from her and have a talk. Look at her face. You'll notice women do that. Go to a restaurant today on your way home, and if there's two women there talking, watch them, because they're hilarious. They're like, oh no, oh, really? And they mirror each other like, oh no, I can't believe he did that. Guys aren't that weird. You don't see guys talking like that unless, you know, well, that's nothing. But guys don't do that, do they? Two guys sitting at the table, they're like, yeah, how you doing, man? Yeah, I know. My wife's the same way. Yeah, I know. See, learn that from your kids. You got a daughter, she needs you, Daddy. Look at her. And if you're going to talk to her about her dress, you got to pick up some area of modesty, or you don't like the way she's behaving, you sit down and say, hey, and remember that soft answer? You lower your voice and you say, no, sweetie, I just brought you out today to tell you I love you, but I need to talk to you about something. Say she's seven. You sit your seven-year-old down and you say, this is what I want you to do from now on. I want you to do this from now on. I said to my 17-year-old one day, I said, son, let's go for a walk. I said, your mom told me she feels like you're being disrespectful. So I said, why does she feel that way? Just keep walking. He's a guy, so you got to give him time. Three and a half miles later. Well... I don't know. I said, I think you do. But here's what I want you to do, son. See, this is communication. I know you're 17 years old and you got three hairs on your chest and you're a man. But she's your mom. And when your mom speaks to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to snap to attention. I want you to say, "Yes, ma'am, I got it." And I want you to hit the floor. If it's the trash, you get the trash out and put a new trash bag in. And then you say to your mom, "Hey, I took care of that. What else do you need?" Yeah. And says, "Make sense? Make sense, son? Give me knuckles. All right, we can go home now. We got 4 miles to walk back." Yeah. And now I'm being a little silly there. You understand that. But guys, communication is the key to biblical fatherhood. How does God show us He's our Father? Speaks to us. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't understand that spirit side of things. You might sense God speaking to you in this weekend. I said in the service last night, hearing God. It's not like God's speaking to me like I'm speaking to you, but the God of heaven is real. And my spirit sensed His spirit talking to me last night. That's why I was on my knees at the invitation. I didn't pray with anybody last night. I prayed for me last night. I prayed for a situation involving my son last night. And you can talk, brothers. You gotta pray. Y'all with me on that one? And you gotta love. That's biblical fatherhood. And you gotta communicate. That's biblical fatherhood. Don't complain. Communicate. I can't talk enough about that. Communicate with you. You gotta say, "But my kids are little." I'm in the teenage mindset because I'm raising one. But you talk to your little ones. A five-year-old won't know what to do unless you open your mouth and tell him. And how many times do you have to tell him? "Well, I got bad news for you." About 50 million times. Yeah. You just say, how many times have I said to my kids, hey, what do you say? "Oh, thank you, Mrs. So-and-so." "Hey, what do you say?" "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." How do we, whoa. Is that how we talk to each other? Try that again. Everybody, let's just rewind. Just rewind. Try that again. No, that's not. Say it differently to your sister. How do you say that? But after a few moments, it's kind of funny because, "Dear sister, I'm sorry." Say it out loud. Repeat after your dad. Look at your sister and say to your sister, "I am sorry that I said that to you. Wilt thou forgive me?" You can use a little humor. What do I do? You talk, you're training. And that's the fourth word. You've got to train. Train up. One of the greatest things a parent does is train. And if a parent fails to train, a parent has failed to be a parent. So don't complain about your kids. If your son has got a bad attitude, God has called you to train him. If your daughter's not what she ought to be, God has called you to train her. So biblical fatherhood trains. So start when they're little. You that are raising little ones, make sure you're training. Number one thing you want to train your kids to do when they're toddlers is to obey. You want them to listen to your voice and respond immediately every time. Yeah. And how do you train that? Well, you just work at it. You say, when daddy speaks, you look at me and you listen. And you say it over and over. When mommy speaks, you look at her and you listen. And then you have to correct that. How many of y'all know that misbehavior, all misbehavior needs correction? Y'all know that? And the Bible gives two ways to correct. Okay? One is speaking, and the other one is spanking. Those are the two ways the Bible gives us to correct. And spanking is not abuse if it's done right. If it's done wrong, it can be abusive. And so it's wise. You got to be wise in how you correct a child. But the way you correct a child is you make the negative behavior, you make the consequences of negative behavior, you amplify the consequences of negative behavior. That'd be a good illustration. If a three-year-old tells you a lie, is that a big deal? Okay, now the answer is no. It's sin, so that's a big deal. But they're three. So a three-year-old lies, and it's not like the end of the world. It's not like his wife's going to leave him. It's not like he's going to get fired. It's not like he's going to jail. He's three. So here's God's plan. While it is not that big of a deal yet, as a young father, you correct it. You amplify the consequences of that negative behavior while it's no big deal. Because is it a big deal when a guy's 33 and he lies about the $100,000 that can't be accounted for at his corporation? Yeah. That's a whole other ballgame. See? So it's far better when they're three to amplify a negative behavior with an amplified consequence so that you head that off.
That's what you do as a young dad. You're just always training. And you just got to train. And you got to slow down and do it. And you got to take time to do it. And it's going to be something you got to do every day of your life and every month of your life until they're learning obedience. And once they learn obedience, then you start training them in truth. You train them how to be saved. You sit down and say, this is how you get saved. And you say, this is how you show respect. And this is how you show gratitude. And this is how we want your bedroom to be. See, sometimes parents will be like this. You know, I have dads, you know, my kids, they just don't help around the house. And I had a dad sitting at a table with a youth pastor. And the youth pastor was complaining about his son. And I was there with a single young evangelist. He was traveling with me. And the youth pastor said this, like, my son didn't do anything this summer. I mean, the guy just played video games every day all summer and wasted a whole summer. This was the complaint of a youth pastor friend. My teenage son didn't do anything this summer. He sat around and played video games all day all summer. And I'm older and wiser, and I know sometimes you just shut up and listen. But my young evangelist friend didn't know that. So he goes, well, you know whose fault that was, don't you? And I was like, you know what, I'm going to run the restroom. And he didn't even look up from his eating. He was like, that's your fault. And you know what, he was right. Because if your son's wasting a summer playing video games, you know, put it on Craigslist and sell the video game. Yeah. Put it on for free. It'll be gone in an hour. Yeah. See, if you don't like how your kid's behaving, you got to train. Yep. Don't complain about your kids. Train. Take them out to eat. Take them on a walk. Sit down. When your kids are getting older, the spanking is a different. You don't need to spank a teenager. Spanking is for younger children. Now, I always reserve the right to. When my kids are like 11 and 12, we have a talk. I was like, you know, we're kind of done with the spanking thing because you're getting older. But if I have to, I will. It'll be embarrassing for you. It'll be awkward for me. And if I have to do it, it's going to be worth it. But I don't want to do that because you're becoming an adult. So now I train differently. They're a teenager. Now we sit down. And if you got a kid, you know what to do about it. You make known your expectation and say to them, do you think this is fair? You got a teenager? This is my expectation. Do you think this is fair? And if they don't, say, all right, then what would be fair? Let your teenager think through the behavior process. Would this be fair? What do you think? Once you come to a consensus, and sometimes you just have to say, all right, I know you don't like this, but this is what we're going to do. Like, for instance, my son right now can't have Instagram. Something happened on Instagram. No Instagram right now. Does he like that? Not necessarily. Doesn't matter. You cannot be on Instagram right now. Okay? So, doesn't like that, but I just had to decide that. But then here's the deal. Once you make a decision, you say, now, if you violate this decision, what do you think the ramifications ought to be? Let him help you with that. That was my decision. I think I'll just take away your phone. Do you have a better alternative? Let him talk. Let her talk. And agree. And you know what? It wouldn't even be wrong necessarily to draw it up in a contract. You got a teenager? You got an issue? Write down the expectation. Talk it over together. Write down the ramification. We all agree that if this happens, this is the ramification. Sign your name at the bottom. Have them sign their name at the bottom. And when the violation occurs, pull out the contract and say, read this. See, this is called training. And I don't know you're going to need to go that far with it, but the fact of the matter is, Daddy, biblical fatherhood trains. So succeed at that. Talk to your children. Spend time with your children. Let them know what you expect. Let them know how they should behave. Make it clear to them and explain it to them. Write it down if you have to. Get your wife on the same page with you and the two of you together be on the same page. And you train, you train, you train, you train, you train. You know why? Because the next 60 years of your child's life in a great way will be affected by what you do as a dad. Now, I know my kids grow up and have a will and a sin nature and are no longer under my authority. I know that. But there's no doubt about it that verse our brother quoted a moment ago, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it, is a verse that says, look, aren't you parenting? So train your kids. Because training your kids makes a difference for the rest of their life. Like, could his son Riley, let me just use a, could his son Riley do stupid things as an adult young man? Okay? things his daddy and mom wouldn't do and didn't train him to do? Sure. But I will tell you this. Riley came to a prayer advance last year with a peach vape in his pocket, knowing he was wrong. Knowing it. Why? Training. Was he doing wrong? Sure. Why do you suppose his heart was pricked when Dave Young made fun of strawberry vaping? I was joking. Wasn't even really in my sermon. I didn't realize until my sons became youth pastors that teenagers are vaping. I thought it was just stupid. Strawberry vaping, really? I mean, really? But it's a big deal. I know that now because my sons are youth pastors. It's a major issue in their youth groups. I didn't know that. I was just joking. But my joking about something in a sermon pricked the heart of a brother's son. Why? Because he's trained. So it's not that your kids are going to grow up and be perfect, but if you train them well, I will tell you what will happen. Every time your child does wrong, you know what they're going to know? They'll hear your voice. In fact, I saw a text of my son's the other day. It just made me laugh. He said, well, you know, my dad always says, and he quoted me. And I'm like, I do say that. I didn't realize, I do say that. Well, my dad always says, he's giving counsel to another teenager based on something that I've always said. See, that's training, guys. Listen, the point is, you can do it. You can pray, you can love, you can communicate, you can train. And it's just four things, master it. So for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's praying, loving, communicating, and training. You're responsible, Deuteronomy says, for you, your son, your son's sons. That's praying, loving, communicating, training. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's about praying and loving and communicating and training. All those verses. A soft answer turns away wrath. And what that's about? That's about love. That's about prayer. That's about communicating. That's about training. Find any fatherhood verse in the Bible, and those four words will always fit. You can pray, you can love, you can train, you can communicate. And I'll tell you, if you work at that, you don't have to be a perfect dad, but you work at that, God will bless you. And let me tell you, it's worth it. My kids aren't perfect, but I'm just living the dream. My heart's just overwhelmed. Dave and Abby are doing great. Serving the Lord. We're praying with them about a baby because they've been wanting a baby and the Lord hasn't given them a baby. We're praying about that. They're wanting to buy their house. They're renting a house. The owner just offered. I'm praying about that. My son just had our grandbaby and I'm so happy. He's a youth pastor. He baptized. He just won a young boy to the Lord, and that young boy brought his best friend from the public school, and the best friend got saved. And I was out there last week and he baptized him in the Pacific Ocean. And I got to watch it, you know. And my son Matthew called me, Marco Polo'd me last night with tears in his eyes. Because a young man he's been trying to win to Jesus, they just discovered he's 16 years old, he has bone cancer. And Matt was in his home last night to love on him. And he was in tears because he said, Dad, his home's a mess. He said the language and the filth and the... And, Dad, I got to see him saved. I'm thrilled about this. Yeah. And my Jacob's not exactly where he ought to be, but God's working on him. And he texted me last night, I love you, Dad. And I'm still, you know, there's some things he's got to take care of right now, but he's on the right path. Dad, none of us are perfect, but you've got to win. You've got to pray. You've got to love. You've got to communicate. You've got to train. If we do nothing else in the church but win our children, we're successful. If we do nothing else but win our children, we've won. And every generation will be bigger. I'm convinced that what we want to do in the church is each of us ought to have 10 kids. Raise them well. Think about the church. If everybody in your church had 10 kids, you'd have quite a church, wouldn't you? And if all of them grew up to love the Lord and had 10 kids of their own, woo, I'm telling you, it worked.